I was planning on sharing some more with you about the Lord being our shepherd and a different aspect that the Lord has really been speaking strongly into my life in how that Jesus shepherds us in all the different ways in which He shepherds us in our life. And one of those ways that the Lord has been speaking strongly to me is through His voice. Jesus said in John chapter 10, if you'll turn your Bible to me, with me to John chapter 10. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Brother Dave, would you mind sharing with us what you shared with us out here at the prayer meeting this morning about sheep and your experience with it? Just for, you want to come up here and share it that way? It's also on the recording. I think that it was really a blessing for me to hear that.
So when I was a young boy, 8 to about 15, we lived in New Mexico and we had about 100 sheep and we shepherded them every day. And one of our favorite things to do was to take a lamb. Each one of us older ones would take a lamb brand new from the mother, and we would take it and we'd bottle feed it. And over time they believe you, they are your mother. Basically, they follow you, they're always looking for you. As we got older, we would try to trick these lambs into thinking they were one or the other. We, us brothers, would change clothes, we would try to make our voices sound like one or the other brothers, and we would try to trick these lambs, or who are now sheep, in the fold, and they would never, I never remember a time that they were able to trick them. They always came to that same voice. We had all come up with our unique sort of sounds that we would call them by either by name or by calling them out of the flock. And even when they were 5 or 6 years old, you could still call them right out of the fold. It was just amazing. So anyway, I was sharing that with Phil this morning. It was a real test to me that some of what Jesus says is so in depth of who sheep are. And anyways, there's a lot of other little examples, but I think that's what you wanted me to share.
And I thought of three examples that the Lord brought to my mind, and I won't have time to go in depth into it. We'll do that some other time. But the first example that my mind went to is Samuel. Who remembers the story of Samuel and how his experience with God started? Does someone remember? Any of the children or anyone? How did his experience with God begin? That's right, God called him. His mom, remember, couldn't have children. And she prayed in the temple when God gave her Samuel. And so his mom said, I'm going to give Samuel back to you, Lord. And just as you'll read this in 1 Samuel chapter 2, you'll read how that she brought him to the temple and she left him there to serve Eli and the other priests. And then one night, God spoke to him. He heard a voice. This little boy was still a young boy, and he heard his voice. So distinctly, he thought it was Eli calling him. And so he runs to Eli and says, you called me 3 times. And Eli says, no, after the 3rd time, it's God who's calling you. So you just answer to God. God, here am I. What do you have to say to me? I'm listening. And God spoke to him some most amazing things for God to ever say to a man, much less to a child. Prophetic things that he was going to do with Israel. I also thought of how God called Elisha. You know, remember that story of how God called Elisha? It's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. And Elijah was a very powerful man of God in Israel, Elijah. But he came to a place in his attitude where he kind of told the Lord in complaint, I'm through with it, God. I'm the only one alive in Israel anymore that serves you. Which, by the way, he was wrong. God had to correct him. But he was very discouraged and fearful of the queen Jezebel. She had threatened his life. And even though God had come down in an amazing, powerful way on the Mount Carmel, and I was sharing this experience with the boys about what fire, the fire of God does versus the fire that man can light. The fire of God, remember when it came down on the altar? It even burned the rocks. It burned the sacrifice, the wood, the rocks, and remember what they had done to it before the fire came? Water all over it. And he had dug a trench around the altar, and it even licked, it burned up the water. Amazing! Have you ever heard of fire burning up water? You've never heard of that, have you? Except in this story. Because it's never happened before. Ever. Except in this story that you can read. Opposite, contrast that with the fire of man that Nebuchadnezzar started and made it so hot. Remember the story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Because they wouldn't bow down and serve the idol? Nebuchadnezzar made the fire so hot that the men who threw them into the fire, it killed them. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell into the fire, and what did it do to them? Oh, yes, it did. Something. Dustin. Yes! He had tied them together in ropes, brought these three men and tied them real tight together, and it burned the ropes right off of them. But even that, not even one hair was singed. And their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. Have you ever heard of such a thing in your life? Only in that story, right? So man's fire can't do anything to God's people. But God's fire burns up anything that man can make, even water. And it says it even burnt the dust, the dirt around it. It burnt that. It licked up the dust. Contrasting God's fire with man's fire. So when the Holy Spirit comes and he brings that work of God in our hearts, it'll burn up everything in us. And he tells us in John that we're baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John prophesying that Jesus will baptize us this way with the Holy Spirit. Well, how did I get off of that? Elijah comes along. And God says, okay, Elijah, though that big, powerful thing just happened, you're scared of this wicked woman, Jezebel. I think your ministry is kind of over. How can I use you if you're going to run for your life way out in the desert away from this wicked woman? Go choose another man. And you'll read the story in 1 Kings 19. Elijah comes along, and what's Elijah doing? Anyone know? What's he doing? He's plowing his field with a yoke of oxen. And here comes Elijah, and he throws a mantle over him, his coat over him. And Elijah goes, wait, Elijah, wait, let me first go home and say goodbye to my family. And Elijah looks at him and he says, you can read the story. He says, what did I do to you? What did I do to you? How did Elisha hear God's voice? By Elijah just throwing his mantle over him. And you know what Elisha does? He stops right there and he kills those oxen and he takes the wood of the yoke that was around them and he sacrifices them to the Lord and he goes with Elijah. And very shortly later, God takes Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind and his ministry, the power of the Holy Spirit comes on Elisha. And you can read all through 1 Kings, the end through 2 Kings of Elisha's amazing ministry, anointment of how God called Elisha. So God called Samuel and a voice in the night. But Elisha, he calls through an almost obscure way. Never heard a voice. But he got the anointing of the Holy Spirit on his life. And then my mind went to Apostle Paul. In Acts, we can read about it in Acts chapter 9, where Paul was, he was a rowdy guy. Apostle Paul was a fiery man. He reminds me of a, does he remind you of a timid, quiet, kind of laid back dude? Just taking life easy? You know what it says about him? Chapter 9, verse 1. Now Saul, still breathing threats. Have you ever been around a man who breathed threats? I mean, it's just words after words threaten you. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. If you, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take you prison. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your mama. I'm going to kill your dad. That's a man who's breathing threats. I mean, just every breath threatening your life and those who you love. Saul breathing threats and murder against the disciples of Jesus. This was Saul. And this guy, he comes to the high priest. I want letters. Give me authorization to go all the way to Syria, to Damascus, way outside of Israel. I hear there's some Christians down there, Jews, who believe that Jesus is Christ. He's the Messiah. Let me go threaten them and murder them. And so he gets that authority from the chief priests. And it came about, verse 3, as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly, now can you imagine the spirit that Saul was going to Damascus with? Perhaps with horses and a bunch of other guys, and maybe on the way he was just telling these guys, boy, I hate these Christians, we're surely going to kill them. I hear they're meeting in a house over in, you know, whatever street, and we're going to go into the city like and maybe in the nighttime, and he was breathing threats. And suddenly, in the midst of his breathing threats, God got his attention. Jesus himself spoke. Now I want you to notice how Jesus got his attention. And it came about as he journeyed, as approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And it was about noonday, just like right now, almost noon. Have you ever seen lightning flash in the middle of noonday? I don't know. I mean, usually lightning comes out of a thick, dark cloud, right? But this time, the light that flashed out of heaven was much brighter than the sun. So bright that everyone seen it around him. And he fell to the ground. But did God yell at Saul? Breathing threats. Is that how Jesus spoke to him? No. He gets his attention by the flash of light. So bright, totally blinded him. No wonder he fell to the ground. Couldn't see a thing. The bright noonday went dark in a moment. And then he heard Jesus say these words to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he heard it clearly. He said, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and he didn't eat or drink a thing. Wow. This Saul, breathing threats? In a moment, the Holy Spirit, through the flash of lightning, closed his physical eyes, but through his voice, changed the threats and silenced him. To the point where he couldn't even eat or drink for 3 days. Have you ever done that? No water, nothing to eat for 3 days. Just alone, quiet, in a dark room. And then God does something else. He sends a man called Ananias to tell him what to do. And by that time, the breathing, threatening, violent man was broken and quiet for God. So that this Ananias that we never read of before and never read of afterward, this nobody in the church could come tell him exactly what to do, and he did it to obey Jesus. Changed him completely. So I just want to share this with you, dear brother, sister. You take the Bible and read more stories of how Jesus calls his own sheep by name, and they hear his voice, and how it changes their life completely. That's still how it changes us. Isaiah 29 says, "You shall hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" And then something amazing happens. It says the voice won't be behind you anymore. You will behold your teacher with your eyes. You'll behold him. You'll see the one like Paul did. You'll see the one teaching you like Elisha did, like Samuel did. Through their life, they see God. And they followed him. And God was able to use them to change many people's lives. That's why he calls us. So when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation, he says in Hebrews and also in Romans. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. But be like those many who heard his voice and it changed their life. Oh, Father, thank you for the opportunity to hear your voice. That you love us so much, dear Jesus. Like you loved Samuel. Like you loved Elisha. Like you loved Saul. You love us with a purpose. You speak to us with a purpose. Not only to change our lives, but to fulfill your purpose on the earth. To accomplish a task that you give us to do. A person you want us to be. And a ministry of heaven on the earth that you want to accomplish in our lifetime with my life. Speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name.